possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One ball, two strikes. That's a fair ball. Wide hustling down the line, but that'll do it. Sox tried to rally late, but come up short and lose the opener of this series against the Twins, 9-7.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Sox came back in this one, giving you a little hope for tomorrow, but they're going to have to play a little cleaner game to get that one done.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank you, CHSN, for the highlight of last night's Sox loss, 9-7. To the Minnesota Twins at Wright Field on a Friday night. 312-644-6767. What do you think, Sox fans? That was a game they should have won, could have won. They have played well in spurts, Bruce. They have shown some signs of life. They have some young, talented players coming up and making their first impressions at the major league level. And yet, they are now 45-83. There are 34 games left, and I ask you this. Can they go 18-16 to avoid a 100-loss season?
Who cares?
If you don't care.
I think they've already proved they're a better team than last year. I don't think.
I know what you're saying.
Losing 99 games or 100 is irrelevant. It's going to be like, you know, somewhere with 17 to 20 games better than last year.
Don't you have to circle the small victories? Don't you have to eye something?
I think what you look at is, do they have better talent on the field? Are they a more interesting team to watch? Can you project the future?
They are.
Okay.
No
so
doubt.
So as a baseball fan, not a reporter, those are the things I look at.
So
right?
This is what I look at, though. I respect where you're coming from. I've been surprised at how the Sox, the trajectory maybe has been the same this year, or maybe it has been exactly what they wanted it to be, a developmental season. But I've been somewhat surprised at how the dynamic has changed, because we began the year and I was more excited as an observer of the young Sox pitching in the system and how that would be the foundation, I think I would refer to it. And
right.
As they rebuild, it's like, whoa, they got all these arms. And now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, their top two pitchers are in the minor leagues.
I know.
Right.
Well, are they still the top two pitchers? They run into their struggles in Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith.
That's a great point that you bring up, David. The fact is, what you think is going to be when it comes to young pitchers is not always true.
Sean Burke and Jonathan Cannon.
Right.
I thought they would
be. But they're not washouts.
Well, they're not.
They're in development mode.
They are.
So, again, people push back at me when I say that the White Sox were fundamentally an expansion team when they did this. And by that, I'm not criticizing the White Sox or the people running it at this point. I'm saying the work that they have to do is monumental. Monumental means that you have to develop young pitchers. You have to hope they stay healthy. And I underline the word hope because they don't always do that. And then the ascension, the linear movement toward being – good major league pitcher. It's not always there in the first year, not always there in the second year. Look at an example. Look at Justin Steele with the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
He's been in the Cub organization for 11 years. It took seven to get him to being a quality starting pitcher. He's still a young man. He's not even 30 yet.
But, I just didn't expect.
But the point is, it takes time.
It does take time. I am surprised at how I'm sitting here in the last week in August. I think more encouraged and possibly excited about the Sox young positional players more than right. the young Sox pitchers.
I'm surprised too, but I'm surprised that Teal and Caro are in the major leagues and producing at the level they are. They're holding serve. They're hitting, you know, they're hitting good enough 270s. Their OPS, if you like that number, is, you know, crawling over 700 into the mid-700s. They're having quality at bats. They're learning how to catch in the major leagues. They're learning how to handle a major league staff. They just brought up Corey Lee, who's another good young catcher that's going to be a part of the mix. So what you see from the White Sox, you're going to see over 70 players used by the White Sox this year. It'll be a new record again, okay? Every day they make two or three different moves.
What do we know about the manager who has made all those moves, the manager who has presided over this developmental season? At this point of the year, with 34 games remaining, how would you describe the Will Venable experience?
I think he's gotten the respect that he needs from the people that he works with and the players that play for him. The mix of players is as important as the manager itself when you're trying to do these things, right? So you have a lot of young developing players that are excited about being a major leaguer for the first time. So they're going to be more coachable, number one. Number two, the veterans that you have around have been hand-chosen by Chris Getz and the rest of his staff. They know their position. They're not like the ones last year that they had to bring in hoping they'd get some credible at-bats and games out of them, who were dying to get out of Dodge. These guys are actually pretty happy still being with the White Sox, the Michael Talkmans of the world, the Michael Taylors, who have added an awful lot to the team as far as leadership, but also the idea, hey, we're a ball player, we're getting to play every day, this organization is going to be good, I'm happy to be here. That wasn't the case all of last year or the year before.
They brought up Corey Lee. He's a 27-year-old catcher with major league experience with the White Sox. They sent him down in June to Charlotte. They made way for the two catchers we've seen quite a bit of, Kyle Teal and Edgar Caro, as you point out. I love it when they're in the lineup together. I think Carroll's really exciting behind the plate because of his ability to pick runners off. He set, I think, a Sox record with five this year. Kyle Teal probably has a longer way to go behind the plate, but I love his swing and his enthusiasm makes him a guy I think could be a leader of this group. How does Corey Lee fit into this, and how surprised are you that he's with the big league team now?
Well, the thing that I look at with catchers is different from what you're looking at, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I look at their leadership ability and how they mature as the leaders and how the pitchers want to respond to what they're doing there. And to me, that's the growth in Teal. That's the growth in Caro. Corey Lee already has it. He has a strength as a catcher in the major leagues beyond the 150 games that he's caught at the major league level. I like Corey Lee a lot, even though, you know, he's probably not going to hit a ton. I just think that, you know, you see it on the north side this year a lot with the two catchers they've had, and then Amaya as well, who's been injured for a good majority of the year. They have established the relationship and the believability in themselves as the partner with the pitchers that you have to get the most out of them. And I don't think that can be overstated, although it's not exciting to talk about.
Let's face it, in the Chicago sports market, the Sox are about to fade into a little bit of oblivion because the Bears are going to be ramping up, the Cubs are chasing the Brewers and in their own pennant race, and the Sox will get somewhat overlooked. Before that happens, Bruce, I think when you look at what's ahead over the next 34 games, do you expect, whether it's quietly or this makes a little bit of a noise, Brad Montgomery to come up and make his major league debut in September?
I don't think so. Probably not. I think it would be fun to see it happen. I don't know if you want to start his clock right away here. Fact is, he's another really good young player that the White Sox acquired in a trade. That's probably going to help him. The three catchers that we're talking about, they were all acquired in trades and being developed in the White Sox system. So the old, you have to scout, draft, sign, develop. It's not necessarily the way to go. The way to go is make some great trades, bring some other really young players in and develop them in your system there. And the White Sox are doing that with these three guys and some of the pitchers as well.
One guy they did draft and develop who's had quite a surprising second half of the season, Colson Montgomery. Homered last night, had two hits last night, but between the last time that he homered and had a multi-hit game and last night, he struggled mightily. Has the league started to adjust to Colson Montgomery?
You know, I tried to talk about this a few weeks ago when he was hot, that there'll be an adjustment. There always is for young players, right? Look at Pete Crow Armstrong again.
Yeah.
MVP talk the first 3 months. Since then, struggling, right? No more MVP talk for Pete. He's had a great year.
True.
He's had a great year. You know, he's not going to beat out Otani or Schwarber for the MVP.
It's been a great year, though.
It has been, but he has struggled mightily over the last 5 or 6 weeks. So these things happen. Again, the linear movement of baseball players, not always there. Even the pros like Tucker are struggling this
opening
year.
Day lineup 2026 for the White Sox. If it is this infield, how would you feel? You'd have Miguel Vargas at third, Colson Montgomery at short, Chase Mydroth at second, Lenin Sosa at first. Is that a lineup that you think Sox fans could get behind?
No. So I think the White Sox have
to... You just dismissed it like it was not even a possibility.
It's a possibility, but it's not...
It's not a winning lineup. Okay.
Some of those players are going to be part of a winning lineup. I think you have to go out there and get yourself an established first baseman, okay? Somebody that can hit the ball with some pop, you know, hopefully. So my theory is you do not re-sign Luis Robert, okay? What you do is you take that $20 million and you go out there and you get yourself a few other free agents that can help you, that can be everyday players in your lineup, okay? That's how I would look at the development. And that's not against Luis Robert. I still think he's got a really good career at 27. If he stays healthy, he's got a really good career ahead of him. I just don't think the $20 million is spent wisely on him next year in what the White Sox are trying to do.
How about Lenin Sosa? How does he fit into the equation? Because he's a guy that could end up with, likely will end up with more than 20 home runs. He's got some pop in his bat. He's a pretty good two-strike hitter. He's got versatility. He plays a lot of different defensive positions, but none of them particularly well. I don't know how he fits into the equation.
He might be a really good trade chip. You know, again, don't look at your young players as only there for you. They might be part of the equation that brings back some other players that can be even better. So with the Chicago White Sox, you have to use your imagination. If you're a White Sox fan, you know, stay open to the idea that Getz and his people are trying to develop winners here by bringing in really good players, and it's not just going to be 1 year. But I think if you're a White Sox fan, you have to like the direction that they're going compared to where they've been at.
Last thing before we get to the phone calls, 312-644-6767. What do you think, Sox fans? What do you believe they're doing in terms of the direction, and what do you think of Will Venable? Also, Cub fans, are you still recovering and reacting to last night? But, Bruce, I ask you this. When you had to do an exercise for a segment on CHSN about a week or so ago, and I was ranking this the pyramid, and who would have be the top guy at the pyramid in terms of the highest ceiling. I think Grant Taylor is that guy potentially for me. And I think it's because of all the different possibilities. And if he's a closer, I think he could be a top quality closer. If he's a starter, he could be certainly one of your top of the rotation starters. I don't know if that's a wishful thinking, but who would you put at the top of that list? And what do you think of the year Grant Taylor has had?
I think it's development at this level is good. I'd rather see him starting next year. I don't want him in the bullpen. I want him to prove to you very quickly that he can either start or he can't. I think he has enough pitch mix to be able to do it. To me, I want to see Colson Montgomery be the everyday third baseman for the next 10 years, hitting 30 to 40 home runs every year. Okay, I think he has, for me, the biggest upside, because in a game where home runs matter in modern baseball right now, he's a home run hitter, right? So to me, I want to, and I don't want him messed around with short third. If you think he's the third baseman of the future, just put him there. Get yourself, if it's Mydroth, somebody else that you bring in at short, fine. Just put him there, establish him. Let him fly. Let him be your third, fourth, fifth hitter and move on.
Let's check in with some callers who waited patiently. Ron, our buddy, is on the south side. Good morning, Ron. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. Real quick, Bruce, I agree. It's still so much uncertainty, but I agree with you. Make a decision on Colson Montgomery. If you don't think he's a shortstop, put him in third. Chase Meadrow, I don't see him as a shortstop. I don't think he has the arm. I think he's an ideal second baseman. And I agree with you also. You definitely can't have Vargas at first. You're not getting a whole lot of pop from third base. You're not going to get that much power, we know, from left field. So you need to get a first baseman, maybe a right fielder. And lastly, agree with you 100%. There's no way the White Sox could sign Luis Robert for $20 million. Guys, Yeah, he can steal some bases and, maybe hit for the weapon. He doesn't have the power, so I agree with you with that point also. I'd rather them go out and try to get maybe a couple of – even if you get one real good one for 14, but no, he's not going to help that team.
For Vaughn.
Maybe Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, but that's it, Gavin. You all have a wonderful day and a great weekend.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the phone call.
I don't think White Sox think that's very
funny.
No,
I don't think that's very funny at all, Bruce. I think it's kind of mean. Keith is in Buffalo Grove. Keith, welcome inside the clubhouse. Thanks for waiting patiently.
Hey, hi. How are you guys? Look, I listen to you guys a lot. I don't call in often. Bruce, I got to ask you, what are you thinking? I know you're a Chicago person. I know you're old enough to remember Ron Santo. He was a Hall of Famer. He was 5-time consecutive Golden Glove, and you mentioned Mike Schmidt and Brooks Robinson. Hey, there's a statue of him defensively. What are you thinking? I'd love to hear. It made no sense. And this is not the first time you've done that.
What, make no sense?
Thanks,
we
Keith.
Know that.
Appreciate the phone
We
call.
Certainly know that.
I did not set that one up, Bruce. I did not know.
Ron Santo was a good friend of mine and a Hall of Famer that I fought for to get into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
If I put him third behind Schmidt and Brooks Robinson, I don't think that's disgraceful.
I don't think it's disgraceful either, yeah. But I would tap the brakes a little bit before the comparison to Matt Shaw would be apt for any of those guys.
Well, I'm just saying the defense he's thrown out there, and Santo's defense was as good as Robinson's, maybe not quite as good range-wise with Mike Schmidt, okay? Mike Schmidt was a shortstop playing third base for his entire career. He was that good. But the reality is that defensively, I'm just so surprised at Shaw's ability with a below-average arm to make every single play. And as counsel said to me the other day, it's about the timing in his head and the accuracy that he throws the ball.
See, you made a great point recently about Matt Shaw's instincts and knowing when he needs to get rid of the ball and how much time he has. And I think that was terrific. But I wanted to push back. And I think I wasn't here when you said this. Is he? Does he have a below average arm, Bruce? I don't see that.
Oh, yeah, he's got a 50, 55 arm, which on a, it's an 80-20 scale, 80 being superior. So
has that been obvious, though, this year?
Yeah, yeah.
You think it has been?
Yeah.
I think he's played a terrific third
balls
base.
Where he has to throw the ball flat-footed.
Okay.
You know, quick plays, you know, it doesn't have a chance
but
to
has
move
it hurt
feet.
Him?
No, it hasn't. He's made every play. He athletically is getting every single ounce out of playing that position as well as anybody can. So this is not, I'm not downgrading him. I'm just saying he doesn't have an above average arm. So it's a little below average.
So my only
arm.
Follow up to that is why do you and Craig Counsell hate Matt Shaw?
Don't hate Matt Shaw. Just reporting what I see.
I'm just kidding, though.
No. I like a lot of things about Shaw. The thing I like the most from the time I met him two springs ago till now is the extreme confidence that he has in himself. Okay? David, you've covered athletes for a long time. I've covered them forever. There's just a believability that you look at a player and you go, this guy's going to make it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And there's no metrics to support saying something like that. Right. I've been wrong before on some players. You know, I've looked at them, I've watched them, I've seen their believability, and for some reason, they weren't able to adjust. And the breaking ball, they never got to, or they never got to the 98 mile an hour fastball. But for the most part, doing this as long as we have, you can tell.
You can tell.
And no. This guy, no matter how much he failed, when he went to the minor leagues, I said, you know, I want you to feel good about yourself. You know, you're going to come back fast. He goes, oh, I know that. And he said, I'm going to take this really constructively going down here and get my work
He's
in.
He's a confident young man.
I mean,
I like to see him.
I love that.
You know what I like about these young Cubs, whether it's PCA, and Owen Casey, Matt Shaw, Cade Horton, they do seem to have a camaraderie amongst themselves because they, at some point in time, whether it's in the minors or Cubs, they've overlapped and they're all the similar age, and you feel as good about the youth of the Cubs as you do in some of the White Sox players.
It's a really good point. I don't think you feel great about the being able to retain the pitchers after this year.
Right.
You got a whole bunch of guys that are at the door. You know, their contracts are up. Mm-hmm. Where are you going with that? But for now, enjoy this year. Enjoy some of next year when you still have these guys. Their contracts are basically up. They're good pitchers, but they might not be around very long.
Let's squeeze in Paul from Valparaiso. Paul, thanks for waiting. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys have just talked a lot about my point, but I mean, about a month or two ago, everyone was crying about Cam Smith down in Houston, and you look at what Shaw's done after he's made those adjustments. And Bruce, you always say this about other players. He's a baseball athlete. He can steal bases. You know, he's got that quick twitch, and he can really make those plays. He uses that Concepcion hop throw sometimes when he can't make the long throw behind third. He does. He does a great
Concepcion,
job.
I love the reference. Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, it was Concepcion, and then at second base, Rhino made it into an art form.
Yeah. A lot of times that was more effective on turf, but he did definitely he perfected that.
Right. And it became a part of teaching young players rather than trying to get a lot on a ball when you're going away from it, catching a ball, to just get that, you know, quickest way to the first baseman is a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an arc.
Texter chimes in from 847. His instinct when to charge the ball, predict the bounces. It reminds him of Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen was one of the best.
Hall of Famer.
Defensively.
Shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame,
but one of the best defenders.
Should not be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Yeah, I think I voted for him.
Well, good for you.
I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
He was a really good player.
He's in the Hall of Fame. I think he belongs or deserves it in the Hall of Fame.
Those are two separate statements.
But if he got into the Hall of Fame, that means he's deserving.
No.
Enough people thought he was deserving of it to get him into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right. Got down that.
I told you about Chiggers, right?
Didn't I earlier
in the week?
We meet, we weave.
You said I get under your skin.
Well, now it's time to get under someone else's skin because Craig Counsell, he said enough this week to qualify and be the winner of some chin music. And we will play our favorite game next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
High and inside.
Time for some chin music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of out there. He injured his hand on a slide. Initial x-rays were negative. Sat out a day. I think we had an off day. Sat out a day. Pinch hit the next day. And then he was kind of sore, but good to go. You know, he was sore for a little while, but was able to play. We did some more imaging, and it showed a small fracture that was healing. And, you know, that's it. Is it possible that this has caused a kind of like through the playing through it, change some things? Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably likely that at some point that happened. But he wanted to play.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. David Hall, Bruce Levine here until 11 o'clock. That was Craig Counsell. After the report came out during the game Wednesday night that the Cubs were aware of a hairline fracture in Kyle Tucker's hand, that was from ESPN.com's Jesse Rogers. Bruce, to me, that explanation was clumsy. It compounded some mistakes or, I thought, questionable decisions in terms of the lineup and in-game decisions that made this probably the worst week that Craig Counsell's had as a manager of the Cubs.
Well, it's a dilemma when your best player after an injury goes out and for 3 weeks is still dominant. And then all of a sudden they have another x-ray. It shows that there was a hairline fracture, but it's well on its way to healing, and that he deems himself good enough to play. So if it's David Haw,
yes.
What do you do?
Neither one of us are doctors, and neither one of us had access to the x-rays.
As a manager.
Okay, I'm telling you that. Yeah. So if I'm looking at Kyle Tucker, once you figure out he's got a hairline fracture, still has continued to succeed, but then after that starts to decline, it's inconceivable to me that there's not a connection between the two. I really think logically.
Well, what can you do about it?
You can put him on the injured list to give him time to heal.
No, you can't.
Why not?
You can't, because he deems himself available to play.
You have a conversation with Kyle Tucker.
CBA you can't, if a player is available, you can't put him on the injured list without his.
You have a conversation with that. Are you telling me that every time a player has gone on the injured list in from the last 5 years, and whether it's the Cubs or throughout baseball, that they've been all legitimate injuries?
No, but I'm saying they have to agree.
Well, I would think that you would find a way to get Kyle Tucker to agree.
Evidently, in this case, I don't believe that's true.
And I don't think they tried.
No?
Or they didn't try hard enough.
We want to put you on the IL. I think I can play. I'm playing through it. I'm working
Kyle,
through it.
Kyle, for the good of the team, you need to sit down.
This, you know, it's not...
Kyle, for the good of the team?
It's not a movie made for TV.
No, but I'm telling you, that's what I think should have happened. You're asking me what my opinion is?
Ideally, yes. But if the player deems himself, I'm okay, I'm good to go, I'm playing through this, you have two choices. One is you play him. The other is you don't play him.
If you have a manager that you're paying what they're paying Craig Counsell, regardless of what you're paying Craig Counsell, but this only exacerbates it, then you have to be able to have confidence that he can communicate the message to his players and get them to see things from his point of view. So if you're telling Kyle Tucker, for the good of the team, because you're slumping, I think it could be connected to you. Let's 10 days off.
Let's look at the history of this. Last year, he tried to play through a shin problem, and he ended up having to go on the IL and missed a good majority of time, probably 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This year he gets traded to the Cubs. He becomes the darling of the Cubs and the main player on the team. And then sustains this injury. He's hurt. We know he's going to be a free agent after this year, right? We know he wanted to go to the All-Star game. So he went to the All-Star game. The hand was probably still bothering him at the time.
Right? In retrospect, that's a terrible mistake and misjudgment, and that's selfish.
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying.
All these things.
I'm giving you the proper scenario of what's going on here. A player that's going to be a free agent, that wants to play every day to help his team win, and also wants to resurrect his career from being an injured player, not an injured player.
You cannot worry about free agency in July. When you have a player who's in the midst of a terrible slump, and if you have the evidence that you have a history of a hairline fracture just 30 days earlier, and yeah, great, he had a great 3 weeks in June. Are you telling me that there's no connection between his decline in power in July and August and the fact that he hurt his thumb?
You heard Counsell admit that. Yeah.
There was a decline.
Sure there was.
And there was a connection.
Right.
But so as an organization.
Was it only that injury or the one where he hit the wall, the one where he lines a 100-mile-an-hour fastball off of his knee? Is it a compound?
Well, you're making a bad argument worse because you're supplying evidence that they had to talk him into taking some time off,
which eventually he got this week.
He got an unexpected mental vacation that was presented as him having mental fatigue. It wasn't presented as this guy's banged up. He's playing through a lot of pain and injury. That was a disservice, frankly.
A hustling player didn't run to first base. So if you're a manager, if you're a fan, if you're a media person, you're paying attention.
They obfuscated. They obfuscated. Look it up. they misled people by making us think that Kyle Tucker was mentally weary. And maybe he was, but it was created by a physical injury, a problem that they didn't address adequately.
But it was exacerbated to the point where it was time that he wasn't focused on what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a timeout, you know.
And it came about a month too late. Did he get a participation trophy for being in the lineup a day later?
Again, the argument that you can just put an athlete on the IL without him consenting is not true.
Then bench him.
Okay.
Then bench him for three games. Then five games.
Then you're playing with 25 guys.
Then you're making a statement about who's in charge here. Are you letting the players make the decisions for you?
No, I mean,
you David, got an $8 million manager.
You can't do it.
You better trust him to be able to get players to see things from his point of view.
Right. But do you risk losing part of the other clubhouse if you bench your?
You
best
got a good
player?
Clubhouse. The clubhouse was a good clubhouse before Kyle Tucker arrived. It'll be fine when he leaves.
Okay.
This is a strong clubhouse. I don't think that's the right question. The question isn't, are you going to lose the clubhouse? The question is, Kyle Tucker, are you going to make a decision to let your teammates know you're going to act in the best interest of this team? Because you're not hitting, it's not in the best interest of this team.
It sounds noble enough.
It's not noble. This is practical. I'm not trying to win some sort of nobility prize. When you have to bench your best player,
it's not very practical.
If you're resting your best player in July makes you a better team in October, it's very
resting
practical.
Resting or benching?
Either.
It's a big difference. So
either.
When you mentioned the word benching this week, I pushed away from it because it was more of a agreement between the manager and the player that he had lost focus, right? So he wasn't pushing back right then.
A player agreeing to be benched is just a player that...
It's modern sports. There's no doghouse, there's no benching.
Why? Because everyone's egos are so fragile that you don't want to demote him?
There's usually no better player to put in place of you.
Well, that's not the case this week.
Okay.
This week, Owen Casey was a better option against the Brewers than Kyle Tucker.
And he played.
Your $500 million man.
And he played.
And he played. Right. And then he didn't play.
But on the day that they lost. Brujan was your replacement.
This has nothing to do with Brujan.
It did, because Owen Casey wasn't on the team then.
This is a very simple equation.
It is right now.
Kyle Tucker was injured, and he tried to play through it. He did well enough for about 3 weeks, and then it started to decline. The Cubs ignored the likely connection between his injury and his lack of production, and they allowed the player to dictate what would happen next. That's an organizational breakdown.
Right.
And a managerial mistake.
If you say that they could have communicated better to get the point across, to get him on the IL, we don't know if that was the case or not.
We don't know. There's too much that we don't know, frankly.
Right.
And for a team that tends to lead the league in transparency because of the way Jed Hoyer operates things, this has been a bad week
for the Cubs. I'll agree with you on that. I will agree with you on that. This could have been talked about earlier. It could have given the player a reason to go on the IL because he refused to tell other people that he had a broken...
I know people don't like to do this in this town, but how about with the way David Ross handled the situation better than Craig Counsell 2 years ago when Seiya Suzuki was struggling? I don't know if he was injured. Do you remember that? Was Seiya Suzuki medically compromised or physically compromised? They benched him because he was bad.
Well, Counsell took it to a different level. He took him out of the outfield and made him a DH.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
He did that. I understand that. But in the midst of a season where it was going pretty well for the team, David Ross benched Seiya Suzuki.
Okay.
Because he wasn't good enough. Craig Counsell, for whatever reason, didn't do anything with Kyle Tucker until he had gone more than a month without a home run. And they all knew that he had a hairline fracture in his hand. I mean, I think it defies common sense.
He did well the first 3 weeks with it.
3 weeks. And then he started to decline.
Okay.
And that's where I think, okay, I would want, and maybe this is our fault. I'll take responsibility for this. We have not talked to a medical doctor or a trainer or somebody to link the connection between a lingering problem in a broken hand that could resurface or weaken after 3 weeks of productivity.
The doctor's not going to know how well he can hold the bat or not. Only he knows that.
They're going to have educated guesses.
We can only tell that he started to go the other way. He had no more power left, right? Well, last night he was able to hit a ball out of the ballpark. He hit another ball to the track.
It's also August 23rd.
As I told you, in August, he only had 10 balls that he hit to the outfield.
Warning track power.
Yeah, he was one
Mr.
hit.
He was Mr. Groundout. They were going to change his number to 43. he was really frustrating. And it's all frustrating.
That's your best line of the year.
Okay, thank you. I was due.
Yeah, you were.
I was really due. All right, we need to take a break. I don't like being that critical of a manager I respect as much as I respect Craig Counsell.
It's but fine.
This week
There's
he deserved it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not perfect. And I think by the sound that we played, he was explaining something 5 weeks later that probably should have been said then.
I think you're exactly right there. We would agree on that. It was a little too late. All right, we come back. You know who's pitching against the Cubs tomorrow night? A familiar voice and face from the past. We'll wrap things up on Inside the Clubhouse when we come back. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So many. I can go down the line. Honestly, every single year it was something. It was just an amazing organization, an amazing city to be so lucky to play there for so long, you know, in front of those fans, going to Wrigley Field. Obviously, some big games stand out, but for me, there's so many little things. just after like my first, second year, getting close with all the people that worked there, my parents coming to the games, you know, knowing everybody, just being treated so nicely by everyone around there. It really just got to be like a family.
Thank you to Marquee Sports Network for that clip of Kyle Hendricks talking about facing the Cubs tomorrow, which he will do. But tonight, the Cubs take on the Angels in Anaheim. Pregame coverage begins at 8. First pitch, 8:38 on the score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. David Hall, Bruce Levine here and Inside the Clubhouse.
How about Cub fans having to decide tomorrow to root against one of their heroes of all time to get his butt kicked?
Well, I think you don't – here's where you strike a balance. Let Kyle Hendricks go six, give up a run, maybe four hits, and then you beat up the bullpen and you go home
with
a victory.
How about they kick his butt in the first inning?
I don't like to see that. Kyle Hendricks is like the easiest Cub to like over the last 15 years.
Yeah, he's not a Cub anymore. I have to inform you that. he's just another opponent in their way of making a run for the playoffs in the World Series.
How surprised are you that he has bounced back and had a respectable season after signing a one-year, $2.5 million contract to return to his home in Southern California?
I don't like it.
You don't like that he's still there?
No. I want to remember Kyle Hendricks at his best, walking off of Wrigley Field last year, one of his better games in a number of years. And
but, Bruce, I mean,
again, he's going there.
John Lester put on a Cardinal uniform before all was said and done.
I agree with the fact he should continue his career because he wants to play.
But Jake Arrieta played with the Padres, didn't he?
You call that pitching?
I'm happy for Kyle Hendricks because of the...
He lasted one start there, and that was it.
Yeah, I know. But that was enough
to tell him. Kyle's been done for a while.
He's got a 1.2 WAR, his highest since 2020. He's not been terrible. He's not been great. He's been a guy who's taken the ball and has 24 starts.
I've always admired that about him. He's a ball player. He wants to play. But would you want him on the Cubs?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you. Next.
He would not be as good as Colin Ray has been.
No.
He certainly wouldn't give you what Javier Saad could.
Right now, the Cubs have a six-man rotation for a short time. All six are better than Kyle Hendricks.
And the sixth being Javier Saad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good last night.
Yeah.
He was very good.
I mean, again, when I talked about him coming off of the IL and Tyone coming off the IL, I said it's like even better than a trade that the Cubs didn't make, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have guys that aren't worn out from an entire season, maybe at their freshest that they've been going into the last month of
the
season.
You want irony? I'll give you irony. We complained about, maybe that's the wrong word, about what the Cubs didn't do with the break. And even Jed Hoyer had to address it. We talked about the psychological deflation. And their starting pitching didn't need a boost. They've been good this month. The third baseman they didn't trade for, Matt Shaw has been better than A. Eugenio Suarez.
He's been the best offensive player on the team.
I know. So they didn't get that. And the bullpen, they did supplement, and Kittredge has been pretty good.
He's been really good. Except for that one hiccup, he's been really good.
What's happened to the Cubs in the last 3 weeks has been unrelated to what they didn't do at the deadline.
Right. You know, again, they didn't make the big, sexy move, right? But the little things that he did, including... And don't forget about it, Willie Castro, who helped win a doubleheader all by himself the other day.
That may be the most overlooked thing of the week.
Right.
That's a really good point.
And the time that he's been able to give other players off, to me, as I said when they made the trade, this is a huge trade that no one will call a huge trade.
So who plays tonight? Jose Siriano on the mound for the Angels, Cade Horton on the mound for the Cubs. And
I hope Suzuki doesn't start.
I hope Suzuki's on the bench.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind him a couple days.
You want to know how I would go if I'm Craig Counsell tonight? And I know this won't happen. And we are all prisoners of the moment. But against the right-hander in Soriano, I would bench Suzuki, put Owen Casey as your DH. Or maybe Owen Casey in right field and Tucker as your DH. I would put Nico Horner at shortstop. And I would rest Dansby Swanson and put Willie Castro at second base.
Okay, fine. I'm good with all of that because I want to see Cub players rested, position players rested throughout the month of September so that they're at their very best. All my only memories of 23 and 24 is guys like Swanson and Horner with their tongues hanging out, missing easy ground balls because they played too many games.
Remember Swanson revealing an injury after the season, and he kept on playing because they couldn't bench him.
Right.
Because the player always has the last say.
And they didn't ask him if he wanted to go on the IL
They didn't ask him. They didn't get his permission or consent in writing.
I'm like glad I was able to educate you about
I'm glad you did. I knew IL. All that stuff. I don't think that there are ways to make – there are ways to, for a manager to make his point without having to adhere to every
he could have easily said, you know what, we're going to have to sit you for a while and help us figure this out.
I think this is an ongoing conversation. I hope Kyle Tucker snaps out of his slump and it's all a moot point by next week when we come back to argue again.
I like where the Cubs are at. Nobody else seems to.
I don't mind where they're at.
Yeah.
They're on a 93-win pace. That's much better than I expected them to be. And I think they can get excited about going into the postseason as long as they go into it healthy and with momentum. All right, right here you want to keep on the score because later today the Chicago Sky will be playing the Connecticut Sun at Wintrust Arena right here at 670 to score. Our own Layla Rahimi, she's back from Vegas alongside Chuck Swirsky. Man, the Swirsky.
Who's the guy with the pork pie hat?
At Alyssa Bergamini. Coverage begins at 2:45 on the score and the Odyssey app. And coming up after us is Steve Rosenblum, who you just mentioned. He is going to be talking sports until the Sky play. His version of sports. Bruce, thank you to Ryan Sweeney from Marquee, who joined us at 9:30. Thank
you. Adam Studzinski, terrific job.
Oh, Studs was on his game. Really good concentration after the Bears disappointed him last night.
Talk
good job,
Monday
Studs.
Morning on Mullion.
Disappointed me. They won.
Oh, yeah, they won. I mean, the first team offense. It felt like a loss, but they did actually win. Thank you all for listening, for texting, and for calling. Talk to you Monday morning on Mullion Hall. For Bruce Levine, Adam Studzinski, I'm David Haw. Thank you for listening to the 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.